We are turning our Bibles to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 24. Of course, last week we began in the book of Revelation, chapter 16. We are going to go back there for a while, but we're going to pick up where we left off. And of course, we're talking about things that are soon to come to pass. Has anybody noticed the world changing? Has anybody noticed what kind of trouble our country is in? Our economy is literally falling apart. You know, on the way out last night to the prayer meeting, and well, we had so many prayer requests last night, but on the way out, I happened to listen to a little of the news, and there was a report that came across saying that our entire infrastructure is crumbling. The bridges, the overpasses, the tunnels, all throughout the country, they're just literally crumbling and falling apart. It supposedly will cost about $3 trillion to fix everything. The problem with that is we have a budget of $3 trillion, but nothing to help people, nothing for any social programs, nothing to help anybody that lives here. Most of it is for the wars that they're working on. And you know, when we look at this subject of the end times, and we started in Revelation last week about how the day will come when a great war will be fought. You could call it World War III. And it'll be the last one before our Lord comes, because His coming right now is very close. Our Lord Jesus Christ will appear in the skies very, very soon. There will be the sounding of trumpets. The last trumpet will sound. And when it does, if you're a Christian, if you have the Lord dwelling within you, and everybody sitting in here, that this can be a reality to you, and everybody in the hearing of my voice, a reality to you, that if you have Jesus Christ dwelling within, when that last trumpet sounds in the heavens, you will be instantly changed. Your mortal body will become immortal. The Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now this is in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm just bringing this in here to build a point. "Behold, I show you a mystery, for we shall not all sleep." Notice, a Christian doesn't die. A Christian falls asleep. Their body stops working, and they put that in the cemetery. But that person is very much alive. They move out of the body and into the presence of Jesus Christ. Because inside of us, there is a soul. The Bible says there is a soul in man. And Scripture says, "Fear not those that kill the body, and after that, there's nothing they can do. Rather, fear Him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." So the Lord came to save our souls. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. When you go up to be with the Lord, you're not going to take this carcass with you. We get changed. We completely, it's a complete, not an overhaul, but a recreation. Amen. And the Bible says we shall be as the angels. That's quite a thought, isn't it? That's what Jesus said. Ye shall be as the angels. This is the creative power of God transforming your mortal body into an immortal one. And then we rise to meet Him in the air as He begins to pour His final wrath out upon this world. And that's what we're studying this morning. But isn't it an awesome thought that we can have salvation today? Now, nobody is perfect. And if anybody says they are, I've got another message for you. We all have faults. The Bible says, I met a man one time who said, "I never sin." Did you ever meet anybody like that? How about anybody in here? Is there anybody like that? "I never sin. Never, ever, ever. Never a hateful thought, even when somebody cuts me off in traffic. Never a bad word." The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The truth is, we need Jesus every day because we live in a faulty world full of every kind of evil and wickedness, and it's thrown at us constantly. And we need Jesus to cleanse us all the time. That's why it's like a fountain springing up. It keeps on regenerating you. Just a little positive thought here when we look at a very negative world. And you know, if you look at the candidates for president, I look at every one of them that could possibly get there and think, oh, what are we going to do? And people say, well, who are you going to vote for? I tell them, I will vote in a closet of prayer. And somebody said to me, well, what if everybody did that? What if everybody did? Huh? Wouldn't that be something? We're not going to see that happen. But I still believe in miracles. I've seen miracles. I've experienced miracles. We serve a God of miracles. And no matter what your problem is or what's going on in your life, He can help you if you will open your heart and let Him in. What's going to happen in this world is not a pretty sight. It just isn't. And we'll be getting into that. We will be searching the Scripture on that right now. So I just wanted to lay that little foundation. This is not a hopeless message. It's a message of hope. When I hear about the end times, I think, praise the Lord. I don't want this to continue. Not like this. Look at all the sorrow in the world. You know, in the past 9 days, I should say the first 9 days of the month, and this is the 10th today. In the first 9 days, we had 9 major earthquakes. Did you hear about them? Not much. 9 major quakes above magnitude 6. One of them 6.8. But you didn't hear about it because the news is full of Britney Spears and Paris Hilton and things that don't matter. But the whole world is living a soap opera, and they have a diversity of interest, but when it comes to attention span for the Word of God, most people don't have a lot of that. And that's what we need the most. We need to hear the Word and then take the Word. See, I've had people tell me recently, all you do is preach about the conspiracy. You don't preach the gospel. Just all conspiracy. Do I preach the gospel? Sure I do. But what I do is I take the gospel and I take the Word of God and I relate it to current events. That gets right down to home, doesn't it? Amen. Well, that's all right. You know, I'm used to being accused of things, and it's wonderful to not be ignored. Amen. So, we know what the Bible says and we see it happening all around us. Let's look at some of that right now. In Matthew chapter 24, follow along with me. In verse 29, Matthew 24, 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. When? After. You know, I talk about prophecy to people and they say, what do I care? We're going to be gone anyway before anything happens. The Bible doesn't teach that. They must have gotten that from some comic books somewhere. Seriously, they write comic books about that sort of thing. No. We are here to overcome. God had His people in Egypt, right in the middle of it, but there was light in their dwellings. Come on. Do we really believe in the Lord? Do we really believe He can work a miracle, and that He can work a miracle for you personally? Yes. And He will show Himself when you have no other alternatives and you look only to the Lord. And that time will surely come. He will be there for you. He will help you. So immediately after the tribulation is rough times, put simply, very rough times, shall the sun be darkened. Kind of interesting week we had, don't you think? We had a witch's Sabbath last weekend. Groundhog's Day, well, actually, about a week ago now. It would have been on the 2nd, February 2nd. Remember, we had Groundhog's Day, which is also a witch's Sabbath called Imalk. There are real witches in this country, a lot of them, practicing witches. It's everywhere. They practically advertise now. Of course, with all the Harry Potter things and all that going on, It has really built that system up. Our government runs on witchcraft. Believe it or not, they consult astrologers. And how are they any different? See, this country is Babylon. And how is it any different than ancient Babylon, where they called together the soothsayers? Remember, Nebuchadnezzar called for the soothsayers and the stargazers and all these people. They do it in Washington. They've admitted that. Senators, even the president. In fact, the president, when he first took the Oval Office, after he first stole the election, he asked for a bust of Sir Winston Churchill to be brought in. And they brought it in and he set it up. Now, this didn't come out of some National Enquirer. This came out of the mainstream news. And he started asking questions of this idol, this representation of Sir Winston Churchill. Of course, Winston Churchill was a member of the Masonic Lodge, the League of Just Men, the Illuminati, and several other secret societies. And when he was Lord of the Admiralty, he helped to foment World War I. But here you've got a president talking to an idol, seriously asking it questions, like it's an oracle. Is there anything wrong with that picture? So, when you look at this strange system that's at work, and then think about last weekend, they had that big witches' Sabbath thing, and then, right after that, we had Super Tuesday, big election thing, and God is not pleased with these candidates. I'll tell you that right now. When you have 44 tornadoes cut through the South and literally tear it apart and smashing it down. I mean, some of these towns are literally flat to the ground. There's nothing left. And the rest of the country gets other weird weather. Everybody's getting something, and it's all difficult. I've never seen anything like it. At the beginning of February, 44 tornadoes. I think there are at least 55 or 60 people dead. Now, that's sad, but the fact is it's going to get a whole lot worse than that if people don't repent. God is merciful. God is gracious. God wants to save us, but if people continually defy Him and insult Him and blaspheme Him, judgment is the only other thing left, isn't it? He's already shown His love at Calvary. And now we understand from the Word that God is known by His judgments. And every one of us will know Him, either in salvation or in judgment. But we will know Him. And isn't that wonderful? We can know Him in salvation. That He hears us if we pray. If you reach out to Him, He will look to you with mercy and with grace. And that's the good news. That's the gospel. Amen. Okay, now. Oh, incidentally, one other thing happened. That's what brought me to that. That's why I went off on that little side road there and telling you these things. We had, on the 7th, an eclipse of the sun. Now, we didn't see that in our hemisphere over here. In other parts of the world, they did. But there are too many things that... See, in the occult, they believe that portends death and destruction, and sometimes the death of a world leader. And we had one on the 7th, and we had all this destruction, not only in our country, folks, but in other countries. Did you know that Japan and China have been having blizzards of snow? Did you know that in Jerusalem, they had a heavy snowfall? I saw a picture of the Dome of the Rock Mosque with snow all over it. And they just weren't used to that. But freak weather around the globe. It's never been like this. Something is going on. And God's hand is in it all. Now, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. I'm kind of wondering, too, where that satellite is going to hit. There's one falling toward the United States. A spy satellite. It's a big one. Full of fuel that would kill you on contact. And they said it's going to hit in the United States, as best they can tell. They don't know where. They're hoping it'll hit in water If that thing hit in one of our cities, we would have quite an impact. They can't stop it. The remote doesn't work. You know, they've controlled it by computers, not responding, and it's losing orbit. The orbital maintenance system doesn't work, and it's crashing toward the Earth. Should hit about the end of March sometime. We have a lot to pray about, don't we? See, the problem, though, today is that people, for the most part, don't care. And it's time that we do care, because God does hear our prayers. Praying people are praying because they care. Jesus said, watch and pray. And one of the reasons I look up in the sky and see what I can see up there is because the Lord said there would be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. If there are signs, it must mean that He intended for us to look at them. All right? Now it says in verse 30, of course it tells us the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign. There's going to be a great sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Can you picture that even a little bit in your mind's eye? That the day will come when the sky will split open, in fact, roll together like a scroll, and the great sound of a trumpet will be heard. And you know, this is no secret rapture, folks. This is something everybody's going to know about because all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. You can read it again in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. And He shall send, hear this now, He shall send His angels. The sky is going to be filled with angels. He's coming with power. And He is going to go and He's going to find you. He knows where you are anyway. But it says, He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect, His chosen ones. Come on. Have you ever read in Romans chapter 11 how the Lord has a remnant according to the election of grace? It's not our works that save us. In fact, there's nothing that you and I could do to make Jesus love us more. Nothing. It's not our works that save us. For all of our own righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. The best you've got is filthy rags. The best you've got. But it's the grace of God, the power manifested at Calvary. Amen. Blessed is he whose sins are covered and are not imputed unto him. Why? The blood of Jesus absorbed it all. And here's what's going to happen. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This earth is going to be literally invaded by the angels of God as He gathers all of His people together unto Jesus Christ. Those that God has chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. But those that He has chosen, He will gather. And then He says, now learn a parable. Watch, He gives us a sign here. This is an urgent sign. Now look at this carefully. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. What is the fig tree? It represents original Old Testament Israel, doesn't it? Okay? If you look in the New Testament, you see Israel as the olive tree. And a fig tree cannot bring forth olive berries, it tells us in the book of James, right? You're not going to get olives off a fig tree. All right? But notice there is a significance here. All prophecy must be fulfilled. We understand that you don't get saved by keeping the law. Nobody's ever kept it. That doesn't do it. We're saved by Jesus Christ. The fruit that is brought forth in the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, of Jesus Christ, the one true God, who manifests Himself as our Heavenly Father, as the Son of God, as the Holy Ghost, and is so powerful He can show Himself as all three at once. He's that powerful. All right? So we understand that. But He's saying here, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. He's saying, now look, folks, he's saying you can go outside in the springtime, you can see the trees blossom, you can see the pretty flowers and the little buds come forth, and what does that tell you, even if you didn't have a calendar? It's spring, right? Summer is drawing nigh. Things are beginning to grow. But you'll notice something here. He says, when you see it put forth leaves, he's speaking of the fig tree. Old Israel. Original Israel. With leaves again. No fruit, because that only comes through Jesus Christ, not through Judaism. You understand that? So, when you see the old land, the ancient land, things going on over there, Jerusalem becoming a burdensome stone, Zechariah chapter 12, right? Geographically and spiritually and geopolitically, all kinds of things will go on in the Middle East, and that will be the center of World War III. You know what's interesting about this? Is way back there in the days of General Albert Pike, Confederate general from Arkansas. Arkansas got clobbered with tornadoes too, didn't they? Of course, since Clinton came from there, I call it Arachnasaw, but anyway. Albert Pike wrote a letter. This is just after the Civil War. He wrote a letter to Giuseppe Mazzini in Italy, who was the head of the Illuminati conspiracy in that country. In that letter, he said, we must foment three world wars before our mission is complete. Three world wars for the purpose of bringing about a one world government where there is no sovereignty anymore. There are no national boundaries anymore. They're working on it right now, aren't they? How many world wars have we had? We've had two. The first one started with the assassination of Archduke Francis Ferdinand in Sarajevo. Before you knew it, the whole world was at war. I brought this out last week. That war ended. From the time that war ended until the time Hitler stood up with his Schutzstaffe, his SS, and then, of course, his black shirts, the Gestapo. We have a Gestapo in this country. It's called the Department of Homeland Security, headed by a Russian named Chertoff, whose name literally means son of Satan, Chertoff, in the Russian language. Of course, when Clinton was president, we had the head of our entire military at the Pentagon was a Russian by the name of Shalikashvili, remember? And didn't they specify in advance in the UN Charter that the head of the military secretariat must always be a Russian? It's right in there. Always a Russian. Remember during the Korean War when MacArthur was going in? I'm giving you a little history here. He was fighting the North Koreans and the Red Chinese, and he was fired by Truman for doing a good job. But anyway, he was trying to obliterate that communism there. The head of the military secretariat of the United Nations in New York City was Alexander Vasilya of Russia. Alexander Vasilya kept his job, but took a leave of absence to head the North Korean forces. And MacArthur was forced to submit every battle plan to the UN for approval, which was then forwarded to Vasilya, who gave those plans to the enemy army. So they knew every move that MacArthur was going to make, and he was still beating them. So finally Truman had to fire him because The purpose was not to win that war, but to draw a line at the 38th parallel for future use. It's a no-win war. It's a geopolitical move. You see? You have to align the nations through treaties and through wars for future use, to start more wars. Because there are people bent on destruction, folks, and they're in high places. And the Lord told us that it would be so. Who told us about all this? Jesus. There shall be wars and rumors of wars. That's a treaty, rumors of war. Treaty becomes rumors of war. I explained that last week. I think a treaty is a plan for the next war. That if this happens, then this will happen. These countries will come to their aid and those to the aid of the other and so forth. Pretty soon the whole world is blown up. So these are strange, erratic times. We had World War I. It ended. Sort of. Trouble continued on. Then World War II. And there was little Adolf. And there was Emperor Hirohito. And there was Mussolini. Remember Mussolini? El Duce? You always turned profile and looked up. Like that, you know? One day he had the Catholics so upset. Of course, Italy's all Catholic. But Mussolini stood up there on his big platform, kind of like Hitler had. Of course, Hitler was vastly more popular. Now, defining the word popular doesn't mean you like something. Popular means you accept it. Income tax is very popular in our country. Nobody likes it. In fact, we all have an inherent right to hate taxes, right? But people do it. That makes it popular. It means it's accepted. But Mussolini stood up one day in front of all these Catholics and he said, "There is a no God." How do you like my Italian? "There is a no God." He says, "If there's a God, they give him a 5 minutes to strike me dead." And he took out his pocket watch and popped it open and looked at it. He says, "There is a no God. If there's a God, I give him 5 minutes to strike me dead." And those Catholics out there were waiting with bated breath. He's going to drop. God's going to kill him. God's not going to let him get away with that. He's, you know, 5 minutes went by. He snapped it shut, said, "There, you see, there is an old God." But did they get him? You see, when you've got a guy like that standing out there challenging the Lord, you know what that's like? That's like a little ant crawling up on top of a railroad track and sitting on top of the track, a little ant. And he lifts up one of his little ant legs and shakes his fist and says, "There isn't no train. I don't believe there's such a thing as a train." As if the railroad is supposed to dispatch a special train just to run over that little ant. See? But if the ant stays there long enough, the 5 o'clock special is going to come by and that's the end of them, right? God doesn't do things on our schedule. The Lord accepted the challenge, but they strung him up by his heels later. That God took care of that later on. Partisans got him, and that was the end of it. So all of these things, war and trouble, we had the Vietnam War, Korean War, Vietnam War. We had this war over in Serbia and Herzegovina and that area, the Slavic area there. We've had constant war. We had the first Gulf War. Of course, we had this little shoot-em-up with Gaddafi over there in Libya. There's always been something going on. There are demons of war. The Romans call them dogs of war, actually. And it worked right along with their astrology. I won't get into that right now. But World War II afterward produced a United Nations that ensured war ever since. And what do they call it? To ensure peace. I was in the United Nations, I believe, 8 times. And been all the way through it. Saw how they operate, and saw their rooms, saw their idolatry, their witchcraft, and so forth. And all of this is set up by Satan. It's not a good thing. The things that are established as good things are not necessarily good things. And the Bible will tell us so if you compare everything to the Word of God. World War III, this is what Pike wrote to Mazzini. He said, World War III will be fomented by the differences between United Christendom and the Muslim world. He wrote this just after the American Civil War. And look what we've got right now. A war on terror. And all of these things, you notice in the news all the time, they talk about these women being mistreated over there in Iraq and over in Saudi Arabia and all the things the Muslims do to the women and beat them and whip them and all this kind of stuff. All these terrible things that are produced out of the Islamic religion, and the Islamic religion is vile and evil and bloody and ungodly. It's a very, very wicked thing. Anyway, you have all that going on, and yet we have a front-running candidate for the President of the United States by the name of Barack Hussein Obama, who grew up as a Muslim. His original father was a Muslim. His stepfather was a Muslim extremist, and he grew up in that kind of an environment. He joined the United Church of Christ as a front. He's not a Christian, not by any stretch of the imagination. And he's even ahead of Hillary right now. And did you know what the Muslims are doing now is they're buying Catholic churches, because the Catholic churches are closing up all over the country, and converting them into mosques. Islam is literally taking over the country. It has in England too. And they're making provision for that. England is planning now to allow another set of laws to work right alongside their set of laws. And the other set of laws are Islamic. Watch for that in my next newsletter. I'll show you how the Islamic people are literally seizing the entire world. Now, is all of this something that the Lord said would happen? Most assuredly. I want to take you back right now for a moment to Joel, the book of Joel. Chapter 3. Joel 3, and let's go down to verse 9. This is all foretold. Joel 3, verse 9, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Again, I say, you know, when you look at the budget that President Bush came out with, $3 trillion, and most of it is for war or war-related purposes. Can you imagine? Trillions of dollars after what has already happened. I believe that the Bible is making very clear to us that these things would come to pass. Don't try to make sense out of it. These things are spiritual. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. See how the Lord is saying this? Yeah, that's their intent. Let them come. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. See, this battle involves God Himself. World War III, you will find, will be a battle of the nations against Almighty God and His elect. Quite something, isn't it? Who's the enemy? We have a really, it's an undefined war right now as far as who's the enemy. You know, we're friendly with China, give them most favored trade status and all that, and yet they're building up their military and breathing out threatenings against us. Vladimir Putin is saying, we will back Iran when they go against Israel. Made it very clear. His objective is to destroy the state of Israel. Wipe it off the face of the earth. That's his objective. It's the purpose of George W. Bush, also called the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, by the current Sanhedrin in Israel, It's His purpose to divide the city and divide the land. Now, the reason this is significant is simply because it fulfills prophecy, and Jesus said these things must come to pass. The war has to happen somewhere. There has to be a battlefield somewhere. And actually, it was Napoleon who once stood near the plain of Esdraelon on Mount Megiddo, and he looked and said, "Every nation of the earth could fight here." He said, "It's the perfect battlefield. Napoleon Bonaparte." And isn't it amazing how the Bible has this to say? "Assemble yourselves," this is verse 11, "and come all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat." Again, Armageddon, which means Mount Megiddo, and the plain of Esdraelon. "For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about." Notice how God selected a certain place and said, "This is the place where it's all going to be decided, where every nation will oppose me." Revelation 19:19 says that all the armies of the world are going to gather to fight against Him who sitteth on the white horse. Nothing could be clearer than that. See, that's why they have to have this ambiguous enemy right now where you don't know who it is. It's a war on terror, and terrorists are everywhere. And everybody who doesn't cooperate is somehow a terrorist. You know, nowadays, when people do something on paper that's offensive to the government or whatever, they're a paper terrorist. Did you ever hear that term? They've used it, a paper terrorist, using documents and so forth. I suppose if a dog would bite you, it'd be a canine terrorist. Right? The cat scratches you, it's a feline terrorist. Everything's a terrorist. If you're against homosexuality, you're a homophobe. That means you're afraid of them. I'm not afraid of them. I just know what's wrong there, what the Bible says. Here's a nice rushing mighty wind for you. You love to hear the wind howl? I'll tell you, it just makes me think of Pentecost, you know? Rushing mighty wind. And that's what we need, is the wind of the Spirit of God. In fact, in the Greek language, the word for wind and spirit are the same word, pneustos. And the word theopneustos is God breathed. Theopneustos. And the word enthusiasm comes from the word theopneustos. Just thought you might want to know that. Praise the Lord. So now, notice something that happens here. The heathen are awakened. They're brought to this place. Something has to bring them there. The Middle East is right now being prepared for battle, prepared for war. World War III, as planned by Pike and Mazzini and the other Illuminists way back just after the Civil War of America. This is now coming to pass, and you can read about it every day. You can hear about it every day. And people, for some reason, get desensitized, and they're not moved by these things anymore. We ought to be moved to prayer. This is it, folks. It's coming. We've watched it from Eden all the way forward until Armageddon. We have seen trouble, gloom, despair. Oh yes, we've had moments of happiness and joy because the Lord's with us. But basically, the course of this world and the course of that entire age has been gloom and despair, just like the Lord said it would be. But it's all going to lead to a glorious eternity for those that the Lord has chosen. Those that are the called according to His purpose. Now, watch what happens here as He brings this together. And pay especially close attention to verse 13, because we're going to compare that verse with something in the book of Revelation. So the command is given from heaven, from the glories on high, saying, "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great." Multitudes, multitudes! The prophet sees this. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. There it is. A decisive war will be fought, and that will be the last war. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. He's being geographical. He doesn't mean that people are going to stand around, I wonder what I ought to do. Not that kind of decision. There will be a decisive war fought that's going to end the whole thing. There will be no more. This won't be a war leading to another war. There won't be any treaty with this war. There won't be any surrender with this war. There will be complete destruction of all ungodliness. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem. That's where Jesus lived and died. That's where Jesus came as the true temple. It must be so that the prophecy is fulfilled. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. Very interesting, isn't it? Remember these words we just read about putting in the sickle, and go with me now to Revelation. Revelation chapter 16. Oh, actually, before we get to 16, stop at 14. It's right along the way there. Just stop at 14. And let's look at something here. In the 13th verse, Revelation 14, 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." When? When you see these things start to come to pass. You see? When all of this is going, you know, it's not a bad thing to have to check out of this world. You know, if I get a good look at it, after I've analyzed the news long enough, I just look up and say, "Lord, get me out of here." This is just really something. Why? Because am I looking at everything as being futile? No, I am looking ahead to the glories to come. Now, I realize, of course, I was young once. In fact, I came to Beaver Dam as a young man, and here I've grown to be an old man. But in all of this time, I have seen so much happen to fulfill Scripture. And I am looking greatly forward to the appearing of my Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what I want to happen. When you're young, you think you can conquer the world. You feel good. You got a spring in your step. And no matter what's happening out there, that's all right. You know, you feel healthy and you push forward, and that's all right. But then you get a little older and you start to see things differently. Pretty bad out there, you know, getting worse and worse, and you see that, you reference your memory, how it used to be, and it's nothing at all like it was. You know, my parrot this morning, Professor Muggsy, he's a professor of linguistics, by the way, my African gray parrot, he said, "You got the rest of the day off?" I said, "No." He says, "Got to go to work?" I said, "Yep." He said, "Stand at the wall and shout at the devil, or holler at the devil," something like that. I can't remember the exact words. "Yep, I guess that's what we have to do. Go to work and holler at the devil." Smart bird. He's got it figured out. I told him someday I'm going to bring him. Let him be in church here. Get a little stand for him. Let him sit up here. See if he'll say amen a few times. Praise the Lord, you know. But he told me I had to go to work and holler at the devil. So he must know a little bit about what goes on here. But in Revelation 14, it says in that 13th verse, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." You know, we can lose a loved one on this earth, and we can know because of their faithfulness and love for God and Spirit of God all over them that they went to be with the Lord. And you look at that, and I think of Joyce, our dear sister Joyce. You know, she's got it so good right now that, I miss her terribly, but I just don't feel sorry for her because I know. I mean, she would tell you, don't feel sorry for me. If you could just get a glimpse of, I mean, it's all over. She doesn't have to put up with this mess anymore. And we've got to keep pushing forward and pushing forward, and we will, and God's with us. And I just said to myself, you know, after, you go through the sorrow of it all, but I said, thank God there's one who made it through. And that's what we all need to do, is make it through. Everything's going to be thrown at us. Every kind of challenge. And so he says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. And verse 14 says, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Remember we read about the sickle? Back there in Joel chapter 3, didn't we? But watch what happens. Here we have more of a description of the details. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud. And notice what the voice said. Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now this is a different kind of a harvest. This is a harvest of the heathen. This is what happens at Armageddon. Let's see what it says. Here it gives us a little bit about, because we know very little about Armageddon, but here we see a little of it. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Just that fast. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire. Now you'll notice something. There are two sickles here. One is where the Lord is drawing his people together. The angels, remember, gather us together. Then the other sickle, that is the sickle of harvesting the antagonists of God, those that oppose Him, the haters of God, the heathen. And so it says, this other angel came in verse 18, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. In other words, time is up. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. See, these are the heathen. This is Armageddon. Armageddon is the winepress of God's wrath. And it says, and the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. All right, how long is a furlong? Furlong, also known as a stadion, not stadium, but stadion, is 606 feet. All right? So that is about the length of a football field. Or two football fields, pardon me. Two football fields, I believe. Isn't that right? That's right. So about the length of two football fields. That would be a furlong. That would be a stadion. 1,600 times that. Think of that. 3,200 football fields. Blood as high as the horse bridles. Now, you can look at that two ways. And I think we should look at it two ways. One, in a figurative sense, it means utter destruction. I believe the average person has, adult person has between 5 and 6 quarts of blood in their body. Enough blood to fill 3,200 football fields with blood as deep as a horse bridle. That to me says utter destruction. I'm not saying you can actually measure it that way, although knowing how the Lord works, with all of that, all these nations converging there and all the weaponry and everything going on, you know, the picture is end of the world. The end of all of these, all the military forces that gather there. Total destruction. Will the blood literally be that deep? The Bible says it. I don't doubt it, and I don't doubt that God could do it. One way or another, though, it speaks of absolute destruction of all military forces in the entire world. There will never be peace without the Prince of Peace. Never. When they did the United Nations Charter in San Francisco, they stipulated in advance there was never to be a mention of God or of Jesus Christ in the UN. Never. How are you going to have peace? You can't. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. There's no other way. And that's why we haven't had peace. That's why we don't have peace now. The only peace you find is when you pray, when you turn yourself over to God. And all these things that are thrown at you in life and all the challenges and all the threats and everything comes crushing down upon you, you can still find peace in Jesus Christ because you know He's with you. Some people ask me sometimes with everything that pushes against you, what keeps you going? I've been preaching now since I was 20 years old. I'm going on 58. There's only one thing that keeps me going, and that is that I know, no matter what anybody says or what happens, that God is with me. That I know. Because I feel it, I hear from Him, I hear Him speaking to me, I hear Him giving me messages, I have faith in Him, and I know He is with me. And nobody can take that from me. No matter what. Now, we're not quite finished yet. Oh, I don't know if I can finish this again today. We'll do our best, go as far as we can. If I have to finish it next time, I will. There's much more to be said, but let's go a little further because we do have a little time here. In Revelation 16, so just turn your page or look across your page, however your Bible is laid out. Here we find the vials of wrath poured out. Now, when this happens, folks, the children of God are already brought together. Remember that first sickle? Where are we? In the very arms of God. The Lord is coming back again, and He has a shelter for us in His presence and in His power. I can't explain that, but I know it's there. He took the children of Israel out of Egypt and bore them on eagle's wings, didn't He? That doesn't mean they flew around on eagles. He's talking about His power to lift His people up and sustain them, take care of them. But we know we'll be in His presence once that first sickle comes for us. Those angels come and we are harvested unto Jesus Christ. Now, you get to chapter 16 and watch what happens. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the 7 angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. I read in my Bible of two different kinds of vials or bottles, sometimes called bowls. One is filled with the prayers of the saints. When you pray, it adds to the vial in heaven, those heavenly vials of prayer. The other that I read about are the vials of wrath, where the evil accumulates and accumulates and accumulates. Remember how God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 that the evil of the Amalekites is not yet full? God looks at accumulation. That's why His salvation is so great, because He cancels out your sin. He takes it away by the blood of Jesus. It's not there anymore. No matter what your memory tells you or other people try to remind you of, when the Lord takes your sins away, folks, they're gone. They're not there anymore. So when you stand before the Lord, everything in your life that you have ever done, and all of us can look back and see mistakes after mistakes. I think you can, can't you? You've got this big long list and it just, you know. And you've learned along the way and so forth. But when you realize that God said they will never be mentioned unto Him, all of those past sins, God will not mention it. People might, you might remember, but God will not mention it, because His salvation, His forgiveness is so complete and absolute that it doesn't exist anymore. Those sins have fallen like lead to the bottom of God's sea of forgetfulness, where He chooses to forget. Why? Because He remembers. What's the best way to forget about something? Remember something else. You ever notice how your mind will get stuck on something? And it might be negative and just wrecks your whole day. And it just works on you and works on you and works on you. The only way to combat that is stop thinking about it. You can do that. You can consciously stop, say, I've had enough. I'm going to shift gears here, and now I'm going to think about the things of God, the coming of the Lord, things in the Scripture, whatever. You train your mind, you go over there, and suddenly your day brightens. That's how it works. And so, we are creatures that our memory can help us or can work against us. Now, in this chapter, we're reading about the vials of wrath that are full now. When something is full, you take a glass and put water in it or milk or whatever you're going to drink, and you keep pouring and keep pouring. What happens when you get to the top of the glass? It won't hold anymore. There used to be a commercial for coffee on, you know, they were giving you extra coffee or something for the same price. Can't remember how it all went, but they showed this cup and they kept pouring coffee and it got to the top and just went right up above the top and stayed there. Anybody remember that commercial? It doesn't work like that. And then there's the old saying, you know, there's the optimist who says the glass is half full. And there's the pessimist who says the glass is half empty. But remember, there's the efficiency expert who says we got way too much glass here. But anyway, these bowls or vials of wrath become full. And when they're full, they will hold no more. You might say, how could God put up with a wickedness in this world so long? Look at it. I'd say those vials must be about full, wouldn't you say? And we feel that, and that's why we say those things. We feel it. They're almost full. And how people are blaspheming God, and they've got comedians out there telling jokes of blasphemy, and news media blaspheming, insulting God. Hey, it won't be much longer. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And those vials are going to be poured out upon this earth that you live on. We will be sheltered in Jesus Christ, quite obviously, because we're not appointed unto wrath. All right? But watch what happens when it starts in. Verse 2 says, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. There will be those that worship the image of the beast. They're already doing it. Do you think that right now, in this world, there are people who are so given over to the pleasures of life, to the destructive winds of deception, that they have been transformed into little images of the beast themselves? You know, God made man in his image. It's Satan's purpose to take man and transform him into his image. And when the Bible says that they'll make an image to the beast, and that image should both speak and then be intolerant, so that it would cause anybody who wouldn't fall lockstep into that, that person would be killed. Zero tolerance. Oh, by the way, have you heard about Hillary's new health plan? She said, everybody's going to have health insurance. You know how? She said, I'm going to make them buy it. She doesn't understand money. She's always had plenty of money. She's never worked a day in her life. Never had to. Now, I'm talking about real work. Real work. The kind where you sweat. She never did that. I don't think she knows what perspiration is. But she said, everybody's going to have it because everybody's going to have to buy it. And if they don't buy it, she came right out and said this. If they don't buy it, I'm going to garnish their check and make them have it. So now, if there are people that are just making it and they have to buy this health insurance, and then in addition to that, you have to be cooperative with the doctor and everything he wants to do to you. You got to take every shot. You know, we heard from an inmate who's in a prison. I don't recall where it was exactly. But he has been in solitary confinement for 7 years simply because he refused to take a tuberculosis shot. 7 years. Can't talk to anybody, can't see anybody. After all, this is America. He gets the newsletter, he loves it, he contacts us. We're in touch with him, we pray for him. Sounds like a wonderful man. But they've got him in that hole there for 7 years. And he's still there. He will not take that shot. There are laws being passed. Some have already been passed. Some are in the form of executive orders where you have to take everything they give you. Do you realize everything is in place on paper, in the government, in their computers, in their system, where suddenly you would realize they just pull the cover off of this thing and you find you're living in a communist state with totalitarian rule. I heard Hillary speaking the other day and she sounded just like Hitler to me. She had her head turned just like Hitler. She had her arm in the air and she said, "We will transform this nation and the world!" Remember Reichsmarschall Goering? They'll never bomb this place. Remember Goebbels, Dr. Goebbels? We own the world and space. And they said, we have it all. It belongs to the Aryan race. It belongs to the German people. The Germanic people. The Meistermensch, right? The master race. Well, Hillary is standing there. And this, see, it's a little different kind of thing now. Now it's planetary citizens. Now it's Mother Earth. Right? And you, if you went to college and you graduated, you have an alma mater, which means bountiful mother. And they put that square hat on your head, that mortar board. Mortar board, as in masonry, right? Because you now are advancing through wisdom by degrees. entered apprentice, fellow craft, master, entered, passed, and raised. There are all different variations of ways to do that, right? Get them through the educational system. Get them in a sorority. Get them in a fraternity. Get them through the Boy Scouts, junior masonry, right? Lord Baden-Powell was a Mason. He's the one who started Boy Scouts. But all of this orientation that they're doing to people, planetary citizens getting you ready to accept everything they've got to hand over to you. Folks, we must be ready. We must be knowledgeable of these things. You could be sitting in a church this morning that's telling you nothing but fluff. No prophecy at all. The bands will play. The people will rock. They'll be moving with a groove and reeling with a feeling, rocking and a rolling, and their mind will be blowing on all this worldly stuff, and they don't have a 2-minute capacity for the Bible. We've got to know these things. We've got to be ready. And you know what? My words to you are going to echo through your mind through all of these things that come to pass. You know, I've had people write to me, and this happens a lot. We thought you were an idiot. You're telling us all these things. It couldn't be. This is years ago now. They write back and they said, but the things you told us are happening right now. Add us back onto your list. It isn't because I know so much, because what I know is, you know, doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It's what the Bible says. I could see it coming. God reveals to us what's happening. And I feel an urgency in getting this message across, and it will be a 3-part. Haven't done one of those in a long time. But first of all, I've got 5 minutes and I'm going to use them. I need to. We're not quite ready to stop here. Almost. But notice in verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore. That's one that will not heal. It's a festering sore that will not heal. Upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. A sore upon all them that had the mark. That word mark from the Greek, charagma. My friend in Montreal will be hearing this tape, no doubt, and he'll be listening to make sure I said that right. He's a Greek man. He's from Greece. Fluent in Greek. And I verified this with him. You know, I said, Nicholas, I said, that from what I understand, the word charagma, he said, no. Not karagma, charagma. I said it means to cut into the flesh, to cut or plow into, to cut a furrow, to go under and into the flesh. He said, that's right, charagma. And that's the word translated mark, something they put into your flesh. See, the new driver's license is only a beginning. National ID is only a beginning. When the money system fails, and I'm telling you, it's going to fail. They're already saying the Dow is going to drop to 8,000. When it does that, it's near a free fall. And we are going into a major crash. It's inevitable. You can't have a national debt of $9.2 trillion and climbing, and then a budget of another $3 trillion. You can't have that and survive. It's impossible. Nothing can be done. Absolutely nothing. And they know it. They just don't want you to think about it very much. We are in for a nationwide collapse. In New York City, stores are beginning to put up signs, "We accept euros." Nobody wants the dollar. They know what it is. You have them and you remember how they used to be and think you really got something. But there are places in Canada you can go to, they won't accept them. We don't want those. That's confetti. As long as you think it's all right, as long as your confidence is there, as long as the Piggly Wiggly store or the Food Pride or wherever you shop, as long as they think, you know, they're willing to accept them, they'll let you take a basket of food out, you think everything is just fine. But the intrinsic value, what is it? It's only in the confidence that people have in it. It's a bankruptcy note. It's not money at all. And they built this thing up and they pumped literally billions of dollars into the stock market as call money. The government already told us they're going to have to withdraw it. That was a temporary measure. You know, they just broke their piggy bank open, so it turned down to money pumps is what they did. And it's going to be called back. And when it's called back, everything at the bottom falls out. People don't want to believe it, but it's coming. Without question. Need I remind you that we have an astronomical national debt? Need I remind you that light travels around this earth 7.5 times per second? If it were to move in a linear fashion around the equator, 7.5 times it would go around the world in a second. Moving at that speed in a second, how many times would it go around the world in a minute? You can hardly fathom that, can you? How about an hour? A day? A week? A month? A year? At that speed? And one light year is 6 trillion miles. Our national debt is $9,200,000,000. There isn't enough paper in existence to print that currency. Literally, there isn't. No wheel has ever turned 1 billion times without having to repair it. No airplane propeller has ever turned 1 billion times without having to repair it. I won't go into more of these analogies. I'm just saying, folks, is it coming? I don't paint a beautiful picture, do I? I'm not trying to, and I'm not trying to alarm anybody. I'm trying to give them hope. This is it. Our Savior is on His way. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. When you see it start to happen, He's on His way already. That's why I'm excited. And I know what I feel on the inside, that cleansing power of God, that anointing power of God, He is showing us just a remnant that it's right there at the doors. Now, just drawing this to a final conclusion here, we mentioned that grievous sore. I'd mentioned, I think, before that, sure, they've had microchips that they inserted in the flesh under the skin and Applied Digital Solutions in Florida developed those. But now Somark, down in, it's another company, I believe it's down in Missouri, has perfected an ink, a smart ink, as a tattoo that's invisible. You just go and get tattooed, and it has everything about you in there, and the capability of transacting your business, managing your bank account. You become a living ATM, automatic teller machine. You are now biologically interfaced with your bank, with the Federal Reserve, with the IRS. Think about that. No more cards, no more money. And when the system fails, that's what they'll come out with. As you see the economy, you might say, why are they doing this? They must know what they're doing. They do know what they're doing. They're forcing a new system on you. They say, look, you have all these credits. We're giving everybody all these credits. True, the money's canceled. No more, no longer accepted. It's all they have to do is say it is canceled. And everything you got in your safe is worthless. When will it happen? I don't know. Do they have a capability of doing it? They do now. It can be done. What has to happen before it is done? See, our real problem, as I've said before, is not global warming, it's global sinning. And that's the destructive force behind all of this. And God saw it coming and told us and said, when you see it start to happen, I want you to lift up your heads and look up. Because your redemption draweth nigh. It's coming soon. Now, I'm going to have to finish this next week, and we're going to start right in Revelation 16. Otherwise, I'll never get through this. And we're going to start in there. So pray for me. I'm hoping this series of messages will shake people and wake people up. I could tell everybody about what wonderful people they are, but I'd be lying to you. I could say, don't worry, everything's okay, you're okay, I'm okay, everything's okay, let's just go out and not take anything too seriously. Don't dig too deep, just relax. And no. We who are Christians are called to battle too. And we've got to fight. There's no alternative. So we're going to stop right here. And I hope I've left you with, you know, hope in all of this. I know people accuse me of preaching too hard. Somebody told me that recently. You preach way too hard, you know. I don't know how else to do it. I'm just going to do what God gave me to do, that's all. But I'll tell you this. You'll be glad someday for many of the hard things you heard, because it prepared you along the way for what's coming. It's not a joke. It's not fantasy. It's real. And our Savior very soon is going to split these skies open. And they're not going to be able to pass any executive orders that are going to stop that. Amen. And so God help us to be encouraged. I hope you are. Because the one who loves you, the one who died for you, the one who purchased your salvation is coming to get you. Amen. Some people say, oh, the government's going to come and get me. They're going to come and get me. No, no, the Lord's coming to get you. He's already got you, but He's going to come and just finish all of this. And it'll be the consummation of all things. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we're so thankful today. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast brought us safely here to hear these things. And though there be just a few of us here, we know the weather's been so contrary, and we fought many other battles as well. Lord, I know that those that are here because they truly want to be here and love Thee, and their heart, O Lord, is in Thy kingdom. And I pray that Thou wouldst encourage us, fill us with Thy power and with Thy Spirit, to move forward in the Holy Ghost. Oh God, forgetting all those things that are behind, we press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, by Thy Spirit, preserve us, by Thy power, sustain us, and lead us by the light of Thy Word. And let the devil be driven out. Let him have no power to hinder us in any way. For in Thee do we trust. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.